Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is beginning a series of messages on the Gospel of the Apostle John. This first sermon is titled, May I Introduce You To, and is based on John 1, verses 1 through 18. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Our New Testament reading is found in the Gospel according to St. John. I invite you to turn to John chapter 1 with me. John chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Verses 1 through 18 of John chapter 1. Hear then God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And what is your response to the hearing of the word of God, congregation?
Amen.
Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Mark begins with these words, the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, John came baptizing in the wilderness. It is Mark's gospel which begins with the ministry of John the Baptist as a fulfillment of prophecy. What of the Gospel of St. Matthew? Well, the Gospel according to Matthew begins this way, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And so if we were to look at the Gospel of Mark, we would recognize that the Gospel of Mark begins with the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew goes back further and says, this is the genealogy, this is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's here, though, in the Gospel of John, that God goes back further. God goes back further than the beginning of Jesus' public ministry with John the Baptist. It goes back further than Jesus being the descendant of the son of David and the son of Abraham. It is here in the Gospel of John that we are brought all the way back to the beginning. To the beginning. Those familiar words of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. Those same words begin the Gospel according to John, in the beginning. And it is here in verses 1 through 18 that we have what many commentators have called the prologue to the Gospel of John. That sounds quite academic, but what is going on in these opening 18 verses of the Gospel of John? We confess that this is the very Word of God. What is going on in these opening 18 verses of the Gospel according to John? Well, in a very simple way, we might say that Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, is introducing us to himself. That's what we see here in verses 1 through 18. That Jesus, the Lord Jesus, introduces himself to you. He introduces himself to you. We're all familiar with introductions. May I introduce you to my friend Bob? May I introduce you to my Aunt Sally? Well, here the Lord Jesus Christ introduces himself to you. He introduces himself to you. And what does he say in this introduction of himself to you? Well, first of all, he says something interesting, something unique, something even startling. He says, I am the one who was before I came. I am the one who was before I came. It's not until we get to verse 14 that we read of the coming of the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, where we read there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But in these opening verses, particularly in verses 1 and 2 and 3, Jesus would introduce himself by saying, I am the one who was before I came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. Who is this Word? Well, verse 14 tells us it's none other than Jesus Christ, the one who has come in the flesh. But Jesus here tells you, I am the one who was before I came. I am the one who was in relationship to time. I am the one who was in relationship to time. Jesus takes us back to the beginning to show that he had no beginning. The Word was not only from the beginning, but what does verse 1 say? In the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning before there was any time, before there was anything else. He was. He is the Eternal One. And so Jesus, as he introduces himself to you today, introduces you to himself by saying, I am the one who is from before time, before all things, I am. But also, I am the one who was in relation to the Father. We read again in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's clear here in verse 1 that the reference to God, the Word was with God, is a reference to God the Father. Very often in Scripture, the Father is denominated as God. We can think, for example, of the apostolic benediction in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Clearly, the love of God there is a reference to God the Father. And so here in verse 1, and the Word was with God. And Jesus, as he introduces himself to you this morning, says, I am the one who was in relationship with God. The Word was with God. I was in the presence of the Father. I was in fellowship with the Father. I was his delight, and I ever delighting in him. Distinct from the Father, the Word was with God, and yet in closest possible relation to the Father. In fact, in verse 18, it says that he is the one who is in the bosom of the Father. There could be no more intimate, no more close description of the relationship between the Word and the Father. Distinct, and yet in the closest possible relationship. And so Jesus introduces himself to you. He says, I am the one who was in relation to time, in relation to the Father, in relation to the divine essence. Again, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. and the Word was God. Here, we are told by Jesus himself, I am fully divine, distinct from the Father, yet fully sharing the full essence and being of the divine nature, of the same substance with the Father and the Holy Spirit, equal in power and glory. And so Jesus introduces himself to you. And he says, I am the one who was before I came. The eternal one. The one in the closest possible intimate relationship with the Father, the one sharing the fullness of the deity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus doesn't stop here, does he? As he introduces himself to you, he says, I am the one who was before I came in relationship to creation. Verse 2 goes on, he, the Word, was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. I am the one who was before I came in the flesh. I am the creator. All things are dependent upon me. Not one thing made exists apart from me. I am the fountain of life and all existence of all things. I am the one by whom all things were made and for whom all things were made. And so, what an introduction. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, introduces himself to you. He introduces himself to you and he says, I am the one who was before I came. But he says, secondly, I am the one who has come. I am the one who has come. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I am the Word become flesh. Here, the Logos, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, who fully shares the divine essence with the Father and the Son, he becomes man and yet never ceases to remain God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A startling statement that God would become man, that the second person of the Trinity would take to himself a true human nature, that he would be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the almighty working of God, the Holy Spirit, that he would take to himself all that pertains to human nature, a true body and a reasonable soul. And so the Lord Jesus says, I am the one who has come. I have come in the flesh, true God, and yet in time, taking to myself a true human nature, taking to myself that which I was not. We might say, with one of the early church fathers, remaining what he was, he became what he was not. He became what he was not previously, though he never ceased to be all that he was before. Putting it upon the lips of Jesus, I am what I was. That is God. I am not what I am. I was not what I am. That is man. I am now called both. That is both God and man. One faithful preacher put it this way, he really became a man like ourselves in all things, the only exception being sin. Like ourselves, he was born of a woman, though born in a miraculous manner. Like ourselves, he grew from infancy to boyhood and from boyhood to a man's estate, both in wisdom and in stature. Like ourselves, he hungered, thirsted, ate, drank, slept, was wearied, felt pain, wept, rejoiced, marveled, was moved to anger and to compassion, and having become flesh and taken a body, he prayed, read the scriptures, suffered, being tempted, and submitted his human will to the will of God the Father. And finally, in the same body, he really suffered and shed his blood. He really died and was buried, really rose again, and really ascended up into heaven. I am the one, Jesus says, who not only has a concrete conception day, but a concrete birthday. I am the one born in Bethlehem, a baby, but not only having a concrete birthday, but a rooted history, growing from infancy into toddlerhood, from toddlerhood to a young boy, from a young boy to a young man, from a young man to full adulthood. I am the one who has come. I am the one who has come. And so the Lord Jesus introduces himself to you today. He says, I am the one who was before I came, but I am the one who has come, who has now come very tangibly in history 2,000 years ago. But I am also, Jesus says, the one who was announced. The one who was announced. I had many who announced me and prepared the way before me through Old Testament testimony. You can think of many of the prophecies in the Old Testament, how there would be one who would be the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent, how this seed is identified as the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, how this one is further identified as the one who takes the scepter and rules and reigns to crush the head of the serpent from the tribe of Judah. I am the one who is not only of the tribe of Judah, but I am the son of David. Yes, I am the fulfillment of all prophecy, anointed of God, the bridegroom of the bride, the Lord of David, my father. I am the one, a child born, a son given. I am the one who is the shepherd of my people. I am the Lord, your righteousness. Yes, this one, the Lord Jesus, says, I am the one who was announced, not just by John, oh, he is emphasized here in John chapter 1, but by many before John. And John is now the culmination of all testimony regarding Jesus. There are many lines in the Old Testament which are pointing forward to the coming of Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. And it's in John, the last Old Testament prophet. It's in John that we have, we might say, the lens through which all the lines of the Old Testament now converge. As John comes on the scene, a man sent from God whose name was John, who came for a testimony, to bear testimony of the light that all through John's testimony might believe. And so the Lord Jesus introduces himself to you. There's a lot which is here in terms of this introduction. I am the one who was before I came. I am the one who has come. I am the one who was announced beforehand, unlike any other. And I am the one who was seen. I am the one who was seen by many, seen by John. John identifies him. We read of it in verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This one was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. This is the one. John identifies him. All the Old Testament prophecies, through the lens of John, now identified in the Word become flesh, Jesus. He was seen. He was identified. He was seen by the crowds throughout all of Israel. Thousands upon thousands of eyes beheld him. He was not some mere phantasm, merely seeming to be a man. No, he took to himself a true human nature, though remaining God. And I was seen, Jesus says. I was seen. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of eyewitnesses, and I was beheld by those who became my followers, and we beheld his glory. The glorious of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, as he introduces himself to you, says, none of this was done in a corner somewhere. None of this was done in darkness. None of this was done privately, just in a back room. No, this was all done publicly, and I have been seen. And you can be assured today that I am the one who has come. I am the man who was before I came. I am the one who was announced. And perhaps we're reminded of what the Apostle John testifies in another place in 1 John chapter 1, where there he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. I am the one who has seen. I am the one who has come and was touched. I am the one who came and touched. I am the one. And so the Lord Jesus introduces himself to you today. He does so that you might know him. You know, when somebody introduces himself to you, it's for the purpose that you might get to know him. And it's here in these first 18 verses that we find the Lord Jesus Christ introducing himself to us that we might know him. And what is it that we are to know about him? Oh, we've already learned many things, but Jesus says as he continues his introduction, I am the one who is and ever shall be 10 things. 10 things. 10 things in these 18 verses. I am the one who is and ever shall be the life. We read of that in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am the life, the giver and sustainer of life. All life flows from me. I am the one who upholds all things by the word of my power. I am the life. If there is to be life had, it comes from me. All physical life, all spiritual life, everlasting life. I am the life. Jesus says, I am the light. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. It's in verse 9 that we are told that he is the genuine light, the true and genuine light, in whom there is no darkness, no none at all. He is the shining, penetrating light, the light which penetrates into the darkness and even divides the darkness. Jesus says, I am the one who is and ever shall be not only the life and the light, but I am the tabernacling presence of God. We see it in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word here in the original language, which is translated dwelt, literally means tabernacled, tented. And Jesus says, I am the tabernacling presence of Almighty God. Now, at first glance, maybe that doesn't strike you. But upon a little more reflection, it is truly striking. God pitched his tent in the Old Testament in the midst of the tents of his people. He built a tabernacle, a fancy name for tent, that God would dwell symbolically in the presence of his people, that he would dwell with his people. God brings his people into the promised land where they dwell in houses. And what does God do? He builds his house in the midst of his people who dwell in houses. His symbolic presence is there whereby he is communicating, as it were, shouting from the tops of the towers of the temple. I will dwell with my people for time and for eternity. But these Old Testament realities were only pictures, symbols. And now we are told that these Old Testament pictures and symbols give way to the truth, to the substance, to that which is and ever shall be, to him who is the tabernacling presence of God, who comes to pitch his tent amongst us in human flesh. Yes, I am the one who is and ever shall be the tabernacling presence of God, the fulfillment of all expectation and hope. This is the great cry of the heart. Oh, that we would safely dwell with our God and that He would safely dwell with us. And that we would know intimacy, closeness. Well, He is now bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He is indeed become one with us to dwell with us. But fourthly, Jesus says, I am the one who is and ever shall be the fountain of all grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. Where does grace come from? That unmerited favor of God. Where is truth? What is truth? Here it is. It's in a person. In the person of the Word made flesh, even the Lord Jesus Christ. If you desire to experience God's favor and to know the truth, it's found in Jesus, the fountain of all grace and truth. I am the one who is and ever shall be the life, the light, the tabernacling presence of God, the fountain of grace and truth. I am the first. I am the first. It's in verse 15 that we hear John the Baptist again bearing witness. John bore witness of him and cried out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, the New King James does an okay job here in terms of translating this, but that last phrase, for he was before me, literally is, for he was first. Protos. He was the first of me. He is number one. He is the preeminent one. He is the one before whom all bow. I am the life. I am the light. I am the tabernacling presence of God, the fountain of all grace and truth, the first, the preeminent one. I am the only begotten Son of the Father. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. It's in verse 18 that we read, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. Eternally begotten of His Father. The Father never being without the Son, else He could not be called Father. And the Son never being without the Father, else He could not be called Son. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. That is what we confess and profess with the Church of all ages. He is the only begotten One. There's none like Him. Oh, we by His grace become children of God, but there is only one Son. There's only one Son. And as you search through the Gospel of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, you never see the people of God referred to as sons of God. They're only children. There's only one Son. The only begotten One. And He is not only the only begotten Son of the Father. Jesus says, I am the one who reveals the Father. I am the one who reveals the Father, the only means whereby you can know God. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him, exegeted Him, explained Him. You see, He is called the Word because He is the one who reveals the Father. He is the one who reveals the Father and the Father's love, who reveals the Father in all of His fullness. Oh, to be sure, the Word, the eternal Word, was working throughout the entire Old Testament in terms of revealing the Father through the prophets. But now He comes in the flesh. And what does Jesus say in the upper room? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so the Lord Jesus introduces Himself to us today. He says, I am the one who is and ever shall be the life, the light, the tabernacling presence of God, the fountain of grace and truth, the first, the preeminent one, the only begotten Son of the Father, the revealer of the Father, that you might know His love. But Jesus also says, I'm the stumbling block. I'm the stumbling block. We read of it in verse 11. And He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. It's just in the verse before that. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. The world did not recognize Him. The world did not acknowledge Him. The very things which His hands had made, His very own things, in terms of the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, these ones did not receive Him. This one who is the light, who divides the darkness, who penetrates the darkness, divides men who are in the darkness, divides women who are in the darkness. He is the stumbling block at which many fall, refusing to give Him the time of day, refusing to acknowledge Him for who He is, failing to see that He is the life and the light, failing to appreciate that He is the tabernacling presence of God, failing to desire the fountain of all grace and all truth, failing to see that He is first and they are not, failing to indeed bow down at the only begotten Son of God and the revealer of the Father. Why? Because they love darkness rather than the light, lest the light should expose their deeds. And so Jesus, He introduces Himself. It's quite a long and lengthy introduction. He says, I am the one who was before I came. I am the one who has come. I am the one who was announced long ago and preeminently in John the Baptist, prepared for by His testimony. I am the one who was seen, but I am the one who is and ever shall be a stumbling block. A stumbling block to the very creatures that He has made, to the very creatures whom He upholds their breath, heartbeat by heartbeat. How can it be? How can it be that He comes to His own and His own do not receive Him? And if that was the end of the story, this introduction would be very, very troubling. Oh, sure, He's life, light, tabernacling presence of God, fountain of grace and truth, the first, the only one, the only begotten Son of God, the revealer of the Father. But if at the end of the day, He being all these things comes to you and introduces Himself to you, and verse 10 and verse 11 describe you, no acknowledgement, no reception of Him, then there is nothing but darkness. Nothing but death. Nothing but disaster. And we might even say the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John are all about His rejection. Climaxing, of course, in chapter 18 and 19 in terms of His crucifixion. But verse 11 isn't the end of the story. Because Jesus says to you as He introduces Himself to you today, I am the one who is and ever shall be the name. The name. It's in verse 12, isn't it? But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. It's interesting, up until this point, His name isn't mentioned. He's the Word of God, the Logos. Who is this Word? Who is this one who is life and who is light? Who is this one who is only begotten Son? What is His name? Tell me if you know. Oh, He is the one who has the name above every name. He is the one who has the name by which we must be saved. He is the one who has a name unlike any other name, a name which brings peace with God, a name which brings forgiveness of sins, a name which brings new birth, new life, new hope, new family. Isn't that what it says in verse 12? You see, verse 11 isn't the end of the story. The world's rejection of Jesus, Israel's rejection of Jesus. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. What is His name? Jesus, introducing Himself to you today, says, "My name is Jesus. And I am the one in whom there is new life, in whom there's a new start, in whom there's a new family, the eternal family of God, for those who are dead in trespasses and sins." That's all of us. Who must be begotten again unto a new life and new hope, not by our own wills, not by somehow our good heritage of parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, not by somehow your will, but by God's will. Did you read it? To become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, begotten, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, only He can give you what you truly need. New life. A place at God's table. Restored fellowship with your Creator. He is the one whom you need. We're told in verse 16, "And of His fullness we have received grace for grace." Grace in the place of grace. "Oh, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came into being through Jesus." You see, when Jesus says, "I am the one who is and ever shall be," He says, "I am the all that you need." The law was given through Moses, and there was grace in the law. Anyone who would be familiar with the Old Testament, the law, and the prophets would say, "Oh, surely there's grace there." But where did that grace come from? That grace only comes into existence, comes into being through Jesus Christ. And is that not what you need today? Grace. Sometimes we cry out for justice. And there's a place in this world for seeking justice. There's a place in this world for seeking the righting of wrongs. And there is a great day of righting of wrongs, which is coming at the last day when Jesus sits upon the throne of judgment and judges all who have lived from the beginning of the world to the end. But today, as Jesus introduces Himself to you, I pray your cry is for grace, not for justice. For grace. For if you get what you deserve, you will be undone. But if you get what grace gives, you will have all done. Is that not what the Gospel of John is all about? The Word was made flesh to get all done. All done for you. All done for you. As many of you as will receive Him. As many of you who will hear His introduction, let me introduce myself to you today. I am the one who is and ever shall be, the life, the light, the tabernacling presence of God, the fountain of all grace and truth, the first, the only begotten Son of God, the revealer of the Father, the stumbling block of men, the name which you must believe in, the all that you need. And so, Jesus asks, "What then will you do with me today?" Are you pleased to meet me? Jesus says. Are you pleased to meet me? You know, there's no more important introduction. Oh, to be sure, we could dig deeper into these opening 18 verses, which are in John chapter 1, but isn't this the heart of it? That Jesus introduces Himself to you today. And what are you going to do with Him? Are you pleased to meet me? Jesus says, I've introduced myself to you for a reason today. What's the reason? Well, John chapter 20 tells us the reason. That you might believe I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life in my name. Do you want life? Abundant life? Everlasting life? Life which never ends, not misery which never ends. Life which never ends. But Jesus has introduced himself to you today that you might have life in his name. Life in his name. So will you give him your attention? Will you give him your adoration? Will you give him your allegiance today? We can never tire of being introduced to Jesus. I trust you don't tire of being introduced to Jesus today, but that you're delighted to meet him afresh and anew and for him to remind you who he is for you, not against you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we do pray that as we have heard the Lord Jesus Christ introduce himself to us today, that we would want to get to know him even better. And we pray, Father, for each one here today, that you would stir our hearts to see just how glorious it is to be introduced to your Son. And that we would meditate upon what we have heard from his very lips. Oh, gracious Father, turn us from darkness to light, from death to life, from hopelessness to hope, from rejection to acceptance, that we might receive you, Lord Jesus, and have life in your name. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It's at the corner of Daniel Webster Highway and Route 3, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen.